The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. I want to spend a little time on the prophet Jonah to start off with today. The story of Jonah is about a prophet who first rejected his divine commission. He was cast overboard in a storm and swallowed by a great fish, rescued in a marvelous manner, and returned back to his starting point where he began. All of this has already happened before today's reading. Today we hear that Jonah obeys and goes to Nineveh, the capital of Israel's ancient enemy, which brought the northern kingdom of Israel to an end and devastated Jerusalem in 701 BC. The Ninevites listened to his prophecy of destruction and repented immediately. All from the king to the lowliest subject humbled themselves in sackcloth and ashes. Seeing their repentance, it seems God changes his mind and does not carry out the punishment he had planned for them. At this, Jonah complains, angry because the Lord spares them, the enemy. His was a narrow mentality which would prefer to see God's interest extend only to Israel. But rather, God is merciful to the 120,000 inhabitants of Nineveh. The Lord is free to do as he wishes. Jonah wants no part with it. The book is filled with irony. The name Jonah means dove in Hebrew, but Jonah's character is anything but peaceful. Jonah is commanded to go east to Nineveh, but flees to the furthest possible place in the west. The sailors pray to their Zoroastrian gods in the storm, while Jonah is asleep in the hold. The prophet's preaching a message of destruction, while it's the king of Nineveh who calls for repentance and conversion. The instant conversion of the Ninevites is greeted by Jonah with anger. In comparison, in today's liturgy, we follow with the beginning of today's gospel reading. After John the Baptist had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, "This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Jesus knew that the response of his own people would not be even as faithful as with the Zoroastrians and Nineveh. Jesus knows the last greatest prophet, John the Baptist, is arrested and about to be killed. It is time for him, without interruption, to deliver the word of prophecy. And he personally chooses those who will be the first to carry on the message of salvation, first Peter and his brother Andrew, then James and his brother John. Jesus is clearly establishing a structure in which the message of salvation is to be passed on to future generations. The place of the apostles, who are later said to sit on 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes of Israel, is unique and particular. They are the 12 who will call forward generations of apostles in the church to continue the proclamation. Here, I think it's helpful to define terms. The church, ekklesia in Greek, literally translate those who are called or those who are called out. Apostolon, the Greek word for apostle, means one who is sent. We often think of this in reverse, the apostles as the ones who had the special calling, but rather all people are called. The Lord sends Jonah to the pagan land of the Assyrians, not to the people of Israel. All of us are the chosen, those who respond to the call. and all are sent to proclaim the good news of salvation. Today we would say the modern successors of the apostles are our bishops, whose primary mission is to teach, and by their teaching, to sanctify. In a sense, the scene of today's gospel seems quite ordinary. Jesus is passing by the Sea of Galilee. He comes across two pairs of brothers. Was there something particularly special about them, or were they more like you and me? Can it be such a coincidence that the leaders of Jesus' church just happened to be here at the same time in the same place, fishing? Jesus' words are significant. He speaks the same words to us. He doesn't discover star talent in this moment. He only discovers hearts that are willing to follow. "Come after me," he says. That is all he asks. And then he says, "I will make you fishers of men." It was their ability to recognize him and leave everything behind that gives them admission to Jesus' seminary for the next 3 years. They have the hearts. Now they will receive the message to pass on. Contrasted with Jonah, who didn't even have the heart and delivered the message anyway, the word of God reveals its own power in both circumstances. On September 30, 2019, Pope Francis declared today the Sunday of the Word of God, the third Sunday of Ordinary Time, devoted to the celebration, study, and dissemination of the Word of God. The title of the document, A Peruit Illis, is equally important. They are its opening words, taken from St. Luke's Gospel, where the evangelist describes how the risen Jesus appeared to his disciples on the road to Emmaus, and how he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Jesus' word enters into the ordinary moments of our lives. Regardless of the one who speaks, whether it be Jonah, John the Baptist, or Peter, it is alive and effective in today's circumstances. But it must be spoken, and it must be heard. Let us be bearers of the word, as well as those willing to listen and hear its living message for today.